it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to episode 9 of the Hockey News on the Cube, brought to you by BetMGM. My name is Will McLaren. His name is Jamie Tozer. And Jamie, you are, for a change, home, or relative within striking distance of home, mainly because you've apparently spent a little bit of time up the road in Moncton. Tell us a little bit about your experiences up there and how World Junior Camp shaked down from your eyes.
Yeah, it was a fun few days in Moncton. Fun to see some big crowds there and see a lot of players that we don't get to see around these parts too much. So it's cool and really feels like the World Juniors are here. I know it's been a bit of a quiet lead up, understandably, until this event. But really, this week in Moncton, at least, it feels like they're here. And I think next week will be even better around the downtown area. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a great time. You know, finally feels it's like, you know, winter is in the air in our part of the world as well. Yes. And now the World Juniors are as well. So it's, it definitely feels like the time is come, the excitement's starting to build. So, before we go any further, on a more serious note, there were a few reports that were released just this morning. Through various news outlets, and we want to bring them top of mind on this podcast as well. And that regards the sexual assault claims that have been making the news. It involves three members of the Drummondville Voltigeurs, or former members of the Drummondville Voltigeurs. One player has been named. That's Noah Corson, who spent a number of years in the league a few years ago. This happened in 2016. The alleged victim has come forward with her story. Jamie, it's obviously not the story that you ever want to lead any broadcast off with, but at the end of the day, it is important, and it's something that we need to keep in the forefront, not only to acknowledge what has happened in the past, but to try everything to prevent it from happening going forward.
Yeah, really important to discuss these allegations. And like you said, you know, as awful it is to hear about these things happening in the past, it's important that we hear about them and learn from them so that we can correct moving forward. And obviously this is a big issue in hockey culture, and it's not going to be a quick fix, but it's important that we focus on all these stories as much as we can to hopefully reduce them in the future.
Yes, and Gilles Courteau has made a statement, the president of the QMJHL, saying that the league was unaware, and that if they had been made aware at the time, an action plan would have been put in place. And we've seen action plans put in place since 2016, when this allegedly occurred, that would back up that comment for sure. And, you know, just to pull one thing out of the CBC story, the comment from Isabelle Charest, the Quebec minister responsible for sports, where, you know, she says, and I quote, "If there's a positive element, it is that fewer and fewer victims are reluctant to report and file a complaint. We are seeing a change in culture in the sports world." And I think, Jamie, that is a true statement. It's hard to see that so soon after hearing such terrible news like this, but sometimes the only things you can do are, you know, maintain support for the alleged victim and try and make things better in the years to come, and hopefully that's what's going to happen out of this to make a terrible situation come to as good of a resolution as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can kind of get the feeling that the culture has started to shift a little bit slowly And I actually kind of like the way the QMJ Charter news release was released this morning. I really put an emphasis on the alleged victim. And, you know, that's something that we might not have seen 5 or 10 years ago. So you can definitely tell that the conversation has shifted into a better direction.
And, you know, we will, you know, as news develops, of course, we will acknowledge and follow through here on the Hockey News on the Queue. But for now, we are going to move on and let's go back to that same topic that we mentioned right off the top. Obviously, the holidays are right around the corner. That means World Junior Time is right around the corner. And we already know, Jamie, who will be representing Team Canada from the Queue. I guess my first question for you really is, you were there for the announcement. What was your take on the festivities, on the announcing of the team? And we'll roll right into as well your thoughts on who got selected.
Well, first of all, it's freezing. Probably
not in
probably,
Come on.
Probably, I think, you know, I haven't been outside that much in the winter the past couple of years. I'm sure a lot of people are in the same boat just because we've been forced to stick inside. And exactly. That was probably the coldest I can remember being in quite some time. So shout out to Moncton for that. Yeah, it was good crowd at the event, even though it was freezing. Kind of a cool setup. You know, having spent a lot of time in Moncton, I know you have as well, Will. It's cool to see the Avenir Center and the area around Avenir really being utilized the way it was dreamt to be. So really cool to see that outdoor area being used for such a huge event like the World Juniors. Great crowds at both university games. That was cool to see. It's pretty much sold out, at least for the Monday game, which is weird. Monday noon start. That was a interesting vibe in there. I have to say, probably maybe the worst atmosphere I've ever seen for a crowd of that size. Just no atmosphere at all. And I
everybody's still waking up, Jamie.
Yeah, exactly. That's fair. But Will, it might be time to start having a conversation here about the atmosphere at Avenir. I was writing into my blog today, one of the best junior hockey rinks in the country, maybe one of the quietest junior hockey rinks in the country. I'm curious to see what it's like this week when Canada plays. Arguably the two biggest sporting events to ever be played at Avenir this week. So really curious to see if the atmosphere is better and what we get once the actual tournament starts.
Well, I watched a lot of hockey in Moncton. I mean, I grew up there. I spent 34 years of my life there. And the overwhelming majority of those games I watched from the Moncton Coliseum, the old former home of the Moncton Wildcats and, of course, the AHL teams before that. And I can tell you that if it's a goal, if it's back when fighting was prevalent, if it was a fight, or if it was a deep playoff run, the building can get loud. Outside of those three things, really it's difficult. It has to be something pretty monumental. I think that's just the way it is. I know for a long time we always thought maybe it was just the building itself, but to an extent, but you know what, I think it's time to maybe, you know, throw down the gauntlet, challenge the fans in Moncton, fans that are going to Moncton for these games. You're going to see all world hockey. You're going to see Team Canada in exhibition play. You're going to see the best that five other nations have to offer. Take advantage of it and get excited about it. Like, you know, just pretend the Cats are in the President Cup final again. Just, you know, don't close your eyes. You're going to miss something, but just imagine what this is going to be like. Once in a generation sort of opportunity to take this in and just, you know, show your excitement for it, people. I mean, you know, it's easier said than done, and maybe it's easy literally from where I sit, because of course Halifax is getting Team Canada games, and if it's anything like 2003, it's going to be an absolute raucous Scotiabank Center down here. So Yeah, if you're in Moncton, yeah, just get loud. Get loud. Enjoy. Make the people on TSN, watching on TSN, turn around and say, that's a place I want to go watch a game.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Team Canada a little bit more. Of course, we have four players announced from the queue. Two are returnees, Joshua Waugh from Sherbrooke and Nathan Gauthier from Quebec. And also two newcomers, Zach Dean. And I want to get your thoughts on all these players as well, Jamie. But Zach Dean didn't totally surprise me. He was invited in 2021. Injuries kept him away for 2022. He's a first-round pick of Vegas, and he plays that sort of 200-foot, very aggressive game that would allow him to go up and down the lineup, move up and down the lineup very easily. You could probably play it any way you wish. And then there's Tyson Hines, from Sherbrooke, teammate of Joshua Waugh, who will be one of the defensemen, probably in a lesser role to begin, but I mean, between injuries, suspensions, what have you, you never know how these tournaments unfold and who gets how much playing time when. But amongst those four, what are some of your comments?
Yeah, definitely not surprised with the two returnee guys making it. I think most of us had them penciled in. Same with Dean. I think a lot of us expected Dean to make the team simply because you can kind of be used in any situation. He can kind of be used on offense, be used on defense, power play, penalty kill. He's kind of a little bit of everything, and definitely a guy that if injuries mount up, he's a good guy to have on your team. Hines is an interesting one. I think, you know, maybe a lesser known defenseman in the league. And I agree with you, Will. I think he'll probably be used more as a depth defenseman. You know, I doubt he'll be playing, you know, 20 minutes a game or anything like that. I do wonder if having Stefan Julien as a coach with Team Canada did play a role in him getting on the team. You know, I'm sure if it comes down to two guys who are very similar, you're probably going to take the guy you're more familiar with, right? So right. I'm sure that played a little bit of a role at least.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, some of the talk, especially around here, would have revolved around two of the omissions. One was a returning player, Riley Kidney, who, you know, admittedly, you know, it was going to be a little bit tough for him right out the chute just because of the depth up front the Team Canada possesses. But also he did sustain an injury during the two-game series against the U Sports All-Stars as well, and that may or may not have just sealed the deal, which, I mean, you got a feel for that kid, Jamie. You know, he's from Enfield. It's 20 minutes away from where I am right now in Cole Harbour. So, I mean, it would have been the most amazing homecoming possible for Riley Kidney, the Montreal draft pick. And then the other side, which is, you know, maybe a little more polarizing, especially here in Halifax, is Jordan Dumais, who is, you know, leading the league in scoring by a mile. He is proficient in all three zones, but obviously he's best known for his play offensively. And had a pretty good two-game set against the U Sports All-Stars, and still wasn't enough, largely due to the depth this team possesses. But from you watching the games in person, Jamie, did that surprise you at all that we're not seeing Jordan Dumais in Halifax?
A little bit, just because I think he did pretty much everything he had to do to make the team. I thought he was as good as he could be in those games. But like you alluded to, I think it's not that he didn't play well. It's just that there are too many guys who are simply better than him right now. And that's not a knock on him and his skill set. This is a really hard team to make, and there's simply better guys more suited for this team this year. I think if you wanted to do a wild prediction for the 2024 Team Canada team, I think you could probably put Dumais on the first or second line right now. So he's definitely going to have his opportunity in the future.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. And you know, the fact that he is, you know, he is strictly a winger, here in Halifax, you know, he doesn't play up the middle like some of these other guys, like, you know, a Bedard who can, you know, Bedard was going to lose a spot to Jordan Dumais, with all due respect to Jordan Dumais, but, you know, point stands, you know, he a guy like him is a little more versatile, a Shane Wright, etc. et cetera. You know, we have there's guys with NHL experience and more than usual coming back this time. You know, three players coming back from the top league in the world. You know, it was a very tough situation. I can understand the disappointment of the fans in Halifax. I would not want to be the Moncton Wildcats, quite frankly. We're taping this, by the way, on Tuesday night. And the Wildcats are in Halifax tomorrow night to take on the Mooseheads. And I would not be surprised if Jordan Dume is going to take out his disappointment on anybody. Might be his rivals from up the road. And that'll be very interesting to watch. I'll be in the building, and that'll be certainly one of the storylines that I'm looking for. As
well. And that's one positive, Will. I know we talked on the show or a few shows ago about records and how hard it is to for these really high-end guys to put up a ton of points because they missed so many games for international tournaments. Now we're getting almost a full season of Dume, so I can only imagine what his point total is going to be.
Yeah, definitely. Moving on to another aspect of the tournament, I want to get a quick comment from you on this, Jamie, and it's actually something that you mentioned just after we went off the air last week, and that's the ticket market. So the tournament's 85% sold out, or it was as of a week ago. All the Team Canada games are sold out, but the resale market is just completely bananas. I know you've been following this online to see, you know, what's happening, how this is all shaping up. But I guess my question to you is, what are some of the more out there circumstances that you've seen? And what do we think can be done to fix this situation?
Yeah, this is pretty wild. And I think we all kind of knew that going into this, that this was going to be quite a situation here. And for people who are listening to this from outside Atlantic Canada, who, you know, buy tickets on StubHub, a lot of those very popular, ticket reselling pages, those aren't prevalent here. Those aren't, well used here. I don't even know if you can even use them, in a lot of cases here. So this is more, you know, Facebook buy and sell Kijiji type setup here. And there is some wild stuff going on. There's a really popular Facebook buy and sell page that's basically turned into less of a page about selling your tickets and more just people determining who's a legit seller and who's not. There's people on there selling seats for sections in the arena that don't exist. This is pretty wild. that'd be a fun conversation at the door, right? So this is getting pretty wild. And we're starting to see this a little bit more with events in the Maritimes. We've seen the past couple Cavendish Beach Music Festivals, the ticketing get a little wild. Shania Twain more recently, even a little bit at the Memorial Cup where there's only physical tickets available. How do you transfer physical tickets if you're not even in the city? Right. So that was interesting. So we're definitely at a point in Atlantic Canada where you kind of wonder if there's going to be a need for more of a legitimate ticket reselling site in the future. Just to give you a sense of the tickets too, I was looking just before the show for the game on Monday. This is a pre-tournament game in Moncton. Pair of tickets, $368 each for a pre-tournament game. And then the game on Wednesday for a pre-tournament game again, $416 each. Wow, that's a little high for free tour.
Yeah, a little. Thanks for your modesty, Jamie. we have a little bit of off the camera commentary from our producer Connor Somerville, as he points out, you know, that's more than some Leafs tickets. So there you go. I mean, and it's completely the truth. I mean. And, you know, going back to the whole, there is no ticket broker to speak of in this part of the world. I mean, I think it's just time that as a larger regional community, it's probably time to grow up a little bit. It's time to take the step. Like we are, you know, you look at it, you know, we are not as highly populated as most of the rest of the country, but Halifax is a city, you know, getting close to 500,000 people, you know, between Halifax, St. John, Moncton, and Fredericton in New Brunswick, three cities all within an hour and a half of each other. There's what, about, you know, 300,000 or 400,000 thereabouts in those areas, and the area within that area would drive the population even higher. We're not talking about small areas. You know, I'll just use personal experience. You know, especially when I lived in New Brunswick and it was easier to drive there as opposed to fly, I used to go to Boston at least once a year, maybe twice. And within that area, yes, larger metropolitan area, but there is a ticket, like obviously, you know, StubHubs and things like that are prevalent, but things like Ace Ticket, like that's huge in the Boston area. And it caters pretty much, you know, if you're a Red Sox fan, like I am, if you're a Patriots fan, a Bruins fan, a Celtics fan, that's generally where you go first, and you know to go there first. There's no reason why there couldn't be something like that. And it's easier said than done. Yes, I'm not going to be the one raising my hand to start it, but it doesn't have to be something organic. You know, the StubHubs of the world, they are nomadic. They're all over the world. They can be here as well. And I think before more and more people get siphoned of their hard-earned money, maybe for the greater good of everybody, it's about time that we really start to put a stronger consideration towards organizing the second market industry around here. I mean, and you know, again, we now have three buildings of 6,000 or more. You know, Avenir is 8,800. You know, these aren't small buildings. These buildings will attract larger acts and larger events. It's time.
Preach.
It's also time. Yes.
Amen, Will. Yeah, Will for president.
Thank you. Yes. It's also time to talk about one of the other news items that came out in the last week, and that is, of course, the CHL-NHL top prospects game players. The rosters have not been determined for the teams. We're going all the way out in the West Coast. I mean, Jamie, you're out in the West Coast every second week, so you might be able to go to Langley, BC and watch this. You never know. It might correspond with one of your visits.
It's annoying to get there, I'm not going to lie. It's not a fun commute to Vancouver. If you're going to rent a car, don't do anything else. Don't get funky with public transit on that one. Just rent the car and go.
The Rick Steves of the Hockey News Podcast, Jamie Tozer. Thank you very much. So we got six players named. Ethan Gauthier, of course, the top-ranked player at the Q this year from Sherbrooke. He'll be joined by a slew of B-rated prospects from the latest players to watch list from the NHL. That's center Matthew Cataford from Halifax, right wing Tyler Pettle from Drummondville, a trio of defensemen, Mateo Mann from Drummondville, Jordan Tarigne from Shawinigan, and a guy who we're going to probably talk a little bit more about here later on in this broadcast, Etienne Morin from the Moncton Wildcats. Any surprises there? Anyone who you think could see their stock rise a little bit as a result of this game, or even just the play, their play as you've seen it so far in the season, Jamie?
No big surprises there. I'm a big fan of this game. I think it's a lot of fun, and we've seen some standout performances in this game, which I think is cool. And I think all of these guys have a chance to really elevate their stock. You know, this is not a great draft class for the Q. So I think, you know, all of these guys have a big opportunity here where they can really elevate their stock with a strong performance. So it'll be fun to watch.
I'm curious to see the guys who jump out at me in that regard. Jamie, Etienne Morin, who was actually named Player of the Week in the queue this week. We don't get to it later. We'll just throw that out there right now. Who has been solid, leads the queue in goals as a 17-year-old defenseman, which is very impressive in its own right. A guy like him and a guy like Cataford. And obviously, you know, I'm going to say that because I've seen the kid play, you know, 10 times already this year, but I also saw him all last year, and I see a lot of the similarities in his game evolving, as not to the same degree as a Jordan Dumais, but in a lot of the same mannerisms. The confidence is up a little more, the awareness is up a little more, partly because he has been playing on line with Jordan Dumais for much of this year. But those are two guys in particular who I'm curious to see, as well as Mateo Mann, who has spent part of the season injured. Be interesting to see if there's a bit of a redemption story there and he can up his stock for the NHL draft. And speaking of drafts, let's talk about the QMJHL draft as well. Why is this big news? Well, first of all, the league did announce last week that Sherbrooke will be the host city for the 2023 draft. And that in itself is the story, Jamie, because that means we're going back to the in-person draft. First time since 2019. No other league in the CHL does this sort of thing. And I'm ecstatic. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm even going to make it to Sherbrooke to watch this, but the in-person draft for me has always been a trademark of the Q, and I just can't wait to see it come back. What are your thoughts?
Oh, it's so much fun. And anyone listening who's never been to the draft, highly recommend going to the first round, at least. After the first round, if you're still there as a fan, you deserve an award, because it's not the most exciting after the first round, but the first round.
Sorry to interrupt, Jamie. Unless you're a fan of a team who just bought in, like if you just went all in the year before and you don't have a pick until like round four, then or five, I've seen it. It can be a little more interesting there. But other than that, you got to really love the mechanics of the draft.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, such an awesome event. It's kind of like that event is what the Q is all about. The show, right? The show, the entertainment value. It's such a fun event. And I think for us as media, I think we like going just because we get to see all the media all together at once. You guys who we see just come to town once a year, get to see them a lot of the Quebec journalists. So it's so much fun to go to in person. And I think the players love it as well. I think the fans love it. It's just such a fun event.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing, you know, you talk about the players, the parents, everybody on that side of things, it's kind of their time in the spotlight. It's the beginning of the next chapter of their career, and to have it held on literally a larger stage, I think it means a lot. And it's, and again, you know what, I'm not even advocating for the OHL and the WHL to do it, because it's kind of nice that it's
something. Leave us alone.
The Q can call it their own. Exactly. Like, get your own shtick. but that leaves another point too. Okay, so Sherbrooke's hosting the draft. They've hosted in the past. Many teams from one end of the league to the other have hosted. There's one major omission though on my list. And yes, I'm going to say this because I live here. And in all fairness, Jamie, and I'm sorry if I'm breaking your news, you're going to be living down here too in about a month's time. Yep. But the city of Halifax has never hosted the draft. It kind of boggles my mind that here, of all places, this is the second largest market. I mean, unless you want to count Blainville as part of Montreal, of course, but we are one of the largest markets in the CHL, and we haven't hosted a draft yet. I find that hard to wrap my head around.
Yeah, that's wild. And, I'm sure some of it in the past has been, well, you don't want to have it in a building that's that huge. But Videotron hosted it, and that was a pretty sick setup, lower bowl only. And I think Halifax could do something similar.
Absolutely.
It's very bizarre that they've never hosted. I don't know if it's a building issue, if it's always booked, or what the deal is, but it is very bizarre that Halifax hasn't hosted.
As far as the time of the year goes, not really. I mean, the big summer thing in Halifax is the Royal Nova Scotia International Tattoo. That's really late June, early July. So I don't quite know. And plus, these are generally announced this was announced, I want to say that this announcement came later than it usually would in years in which there's been a live draft. Go back, I was living in Moncton when Moncton hosted back in 2009, and I want to say that was announced at least a few months earlier. Mm-hmm. So, there's got to be a workaround there. Like, bring it down here. We can live stream from the draft. I mean,
come on. Now we're talking.
Yeah, can't tell me the hockey news wouldn't go for that. Come on. Do you have any opinions? Do you have any objections? Do you think that Halifax should have the draft? Do you think Val-d'Or should have the draft? Do you agree with who's on the World Junior team? Do you disagree with who's on the World Junior team? Do you disagree with Jamie Tozer's choice in rental car companies? We want to hear from you. send us something. Put it. We'll take it out of the mailbag, and we will read your comments on air. It's at Will McWriter, WillMacWriter, and Jamie Tozer is at @station_nation. Send us some news. Send us some questions. Send us some feedback. Even if you don't like what you're hearing, tell us. We'll make it better. Let's move on to the NHL team profile, and we're going to talk about a team that doesn't have a great depth of players coming through the ranks to the NHL level, but they sure have a number of contributors in the parent club, and that's the Vegas Golden Knights. And we've already talked at length this year about the lone drafted player in the QMJHL right now. Of course, that's Zach Dean, who was picked in the first round, 30th overall back in 2021. Again, you know, and I've actually had the opportunity to talk to some of the player development staff with Vegas, and they just love this kid. They love what he brings. Their big commentary was always, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be amazing, and he's going to progress, and he's done that.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about him quite a bit in the show, but just such a great two-way player. I'm curious to see what he can do on the big stage with Team Canada. It's obviously a great opportunity for him, so curious to see what he can do on such a big stage.
Now, in the AHL, there's a couple of guys there who – one guy I will go out on a limb right now and say wouldn't be surprised if he gets a game or two by the end of this season in the NHL. Next year, I think that possibility becomes even stronger, that he might stick as a regular. We'll see. And if you would have said that about a defenseman of this stature, physical stature, up to a few years ago, you would have been going out on a very big limb, but I don't think we are this time, Jamie. Lucas Cormier in his first pro season has been phenomenal.
Yeah, and really one of those guys who was elite in his last year junior. He's really carried that over to the pro game, so that's great to see for him, and I agree. I think he's definitely on the fast track to the NHL, even for a defenseman. I think he'll at least get some games in the next season or two, which is awesome. Shout out to St. Marie de Kent, too.
There you go. Very nice. Yes. Thank you. Patrick Gay, of course, is joining him rather recently as well, because he started the season in the AHL, in the ECHL, I should say, with the, and I love the name of these ECHL teams, the Savannah Ghost Pirates. Just like, I couldn't come up with something that good. Come on. He was a former teammate of Vincent Marlowe's down in Savannah. Vincent's still down there. He was a Memorial Cup winner with the Rouyn-Noranda Huskies back in 2019. And then we come to the NHL. And, well, there's one name there that you may not associate with the NHL, and Daniil Miromanov, defenseman who played in Bathurst and Moncton about 7 or 8 years ago. But then there's three that, if you follow the NHL to any extent, you probably do know. William Carrier, Nicholas Waugh, and one of the steals of the expansion draft for the Golden Knights back in 2017, Jonathan Marchessault.
Yeah, these are like three real mainstays in the Golden Knights franchise. So it's cool to see some Q guys really doing well down there. And yeah, Marchessault, I would assume there's going to be a movie made about the Vegas Golden Knights expansion season at some point. It'll be cool to see Marchessault portrayed in that movie.
Definitely. We can talk about what actor is going to portray him as well. It's going to be, I can see Bruce Willis doing a good Gerard.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say definitely. That right now. That seems to be on brand. So we'll figure that out in casting later on. The Golden Knights, you know, basically, with the exception of the last week of last season, pretty much the success story since they entered the league, and seeing the Q guys contribute, just icing on the cake. 2023 draft prospect of the week coming up. I want to go a little bit of a different route here, Jamie. So full disclosure, I guess I determined this. I couldn't not talk about this guy. Ty Higgins, he's a defenseman for the Acadie Bathurst T-Town. He's a C-ranked prospect for the 2023 entry draft. I mentioned it very earlier in the year when the Players to Watch list came out. Here's a guy who, if there's a wild card amongst everybody who was listed from the queue, this might be the guy. He was a free agent invited to the queue by the Titan in February of this year. So he doesn't even have a full season under his belt. He's already matched his point total from last year, this year, Actually, he's exceeded it, I should say. 18 points versus 13 points. He's a late birthday. This is first year draft eligible. He came from the junior A ranks in Ontario. And he's not a guy that you're going to, he's not going to be flashy. He's not going to stand out that much per se. But when you look at the scoring summary at the end of the night, he's probably done something.
I completely agree with you. And his game on Sunday against St. John was a great example. You look at the score sheet after the game, he has 3 assists and a 7-4 win. So he's finding a way to quietly pick up points every single game almost. So he's putting up great numbers for a defenseman his age. So I think he's a guy who we could see his stock rise even more, even after his draft year. Came from Ontario. I have to think he's maybe a bit of a Jason Clark find, who I'm sure had some connections into that Ontario loop and brought him here to Bathurst. And it's turned into a terrific find for the Teton.
Yeah, Jason Clark, the former king of Carlton Plays Ontario, and his Carlton Plays Canadians, who were at the RBC Cup for Junior A National Supremacy year after year, a number of years ago. And I think this is a guy who could surprise. Even if he doesn't get drafted, somebody's going to pick up that guy, and we could see big things from him. Do you want to see big things from us? Do you want to see something different? If you have any suggestions, you have any questions, you have anything you want to throw our way, don't forget those Twitter handles at Will McRider or at @Station_Nation. Send us something and we will get it on the air. So Jamie, we're coming up to the last week before the Christmas break. The World Juniors are soon upon us. There's a lot of great matchups in the league this week. What are you looking forward to?
This is always a fun week because you never know who's going to show up and who's not going to show up. I remember following the CEDAW's glory days. There were often the games before Christmas were some of their worst games of the entire year. So I'm curious to see. I think we could see some upsets this week.
Yeah. Definitely. You get those, at the end of the day, we're covering a league that is teenagers. And I know what I was like when I was a teenager in the last week before school. Jamie, yep. You remember it as well. You had one foot out the door. Sometimes it can happen. Much as any coach in this league would tell you, no, yeah, it's happening. So, it just adds more excitement to the league as a whole and lets things go out with a bang. The league will be on break from December 18th to 27th. Pick right back up again between Christmas and New Year's. So we will look forward to this latest slate of games, as well as everything that's happening in the world of the QMJHL around it. We will be back in a week's time to break it all down for you once again. For Jamie Tozer, I'm Will McLaren, and thanks again to Connor Somerville, our outstanding producer behind the scenes. This has been another edition of the Hockey News on the Q, brought to you by BetMGM.